I'll try not to use all the time, so there'll be some room for questions. And I start talking really fast when I get excited. Also, this is actually really, really simple. You'll think it's intuitive, but there's a lot of people out there who don't think like we think, and there's a big lack of data. So there's some rationale for kind of doing this. There were several people involved. We had a couple of graduate students, which were very helpful, plus our guys in the field. And so there were quite a few people involved with this, a rapid assessment for presbyopia. And this is in a really remote, very poor, unemployed refugee population. And that was very intentional as well. It worked for us operationally, but to kind of find out how things are on the far end of the spectrum for presbyopia. Just very quickly, presbyopia, everybody probably knows what that is, but in case you don't, you get to be middle age or so, and you lose the ability to shift your focus up close. It's a biological certainty. Now, for some technical reasons, that doesn't mean that everybody's going to need correction for it, but a pretty big percentage of the people will. The solutions are pretty simple. This is when you start wearing reading glasses or bifocals, and when you're in really resource-poor settings, you can get from factories in China boxes and boxes and boxes of simple reading glasses that are $1 or $2 a piece when you order in bulk. So economically, the fix is not an incredibly difficult sort of thing for really remote and resource-poor environments. The kind of interest in doing this is, again, we have almost zip data on this. Now, partially, we don't have that much data on refractive error and uncorrected refractive error. We're getting more and more all the time. Internationally in particular, we have a lot of gaps in the map. But this isn't even part of that, because this is up close vision. It's not part of the definition of vision impairment by most epidemiological surveys that do eye assessments don't include this. So we can make assumptions that, yes, this is a biological certainty, but what we don't know is to what extent are people covered or not covered? What are their behaviors in terms of going out and trying to find reading glasses when they can go buy them in the market or whatever? What are the quality of life implications? Again, a lot of this is really intuitive for us, but you start talking to other people and the understanding and what we assume may be there may not be there, and other people don't necessarily assume the same things we do. The impact on education, employment, and the economy for people who aren't corrected for this, we don't understand. There's a lot of anecdotal examples, and we heard some in some of the other sessions we've had in the vision care section. When people hit middle age, they're sort of at their prime, professionally or in their trade or whatever, and now they're having a hard time seeing small print or doing paperwork and so on. So again, intuitive for us. Now, we did this for several reasons. One was operationally. We've been giving reading glasses to this population that was under study for some years, and we wanted to have an idea, what's the coverage? How many of them out there actually have the reading glasses? Does it correlate with the math we did in terms of what we gave? There's people in and out, the eyeglasses break. We wanted to have some idea about the actual coverage compared to what we thought it should be. Also, we wanted to know what people thought. People who are largely illiterate, who don't have employment, they're refugees in a camp, and are just totally removed from sort of modern society where you have these huge needs. You know, are they going to have a high demand for this? And part of what drove this, again, we think intuitively people do want to see up close. But in terms of initiating this program where we were providing the reading glasses, it took a consensus of several medical agencies. And the response I got when I first put this on the table is, who cares? They don't know how to read. You know, this can't be prioritized. Nobody's working. You know, who cares? They don't care. And again, we may think differently, but this is really what I was up against. And again, there's zero data out there about what people really think and what it might be. The actual location is on the border of Thailand and Burma. A real quick note, Burma, Myanmar, it's the same place. You might have heard about Myanmar or Burma on the map recently with the monks protesting and all this and that. If you want to be politically correct, say Burma. And I'll leave it at that for now, but you know, we can talk about that later. This is a minority ethnic group from Burma who are really kind of under the thumb of the military dictatorship for several decades, several generations, and as a consequence, most of them have fled to Thailand in refugee camps along the border. Very remote area, no employment. Literacy is about 30%. But as you scale up into older age groups, it drops off dramatically. So it's mostly the literacy that is there is in the younger adults. So most of the presbyopes, in fact, are not literate at all. This was part of a larger study. And I won't go into all the details now, which a huge sample size, and it included younger age groups and so on. We did this study intentionally, very simply, and there's a couple reasons for that. One is the WHO commissioned a working group on refractive error to make recommendations about how WHO should proceed. This was in about 2001. They issued a report. Their comments on presbyopia were very brief, but what they said is, well, if you want to do some quick assessment in a community, just go out and ask 100 people who are presbyopic age and find out how many have reading glasses already and how many think they ought to have reading glasses. So we followed that protocol fairly simply because that's what WHO recommended, and no one had actually done that. So it was really simple. The second reason we kept it very simple was we wanted something that small nonprofit entities and charity-driven organizations or district health offices could do in really remote areas without a lot of technical input. So we intentionally kept it very simple in terms of the actual questions we asked, the things we did. The sampling was a little bit complex because it was part of a larger study. Two-stage cluster sampling, proportionate to the population, 20 clusters, 500 houses. What we got was 487 adults aged 35 years and up. We go down to age 35 because when you start getting in the tropics, you get presbyopia at younger age groups. Here you might do this at 40 or even 45, but there we start seeing presbyopia 35 on up. And we asked them two very simple questions. Do you have reading glasses already? Again, we wanted to know what sort of coverage we were able to affect with the program. Second question was, do you have any need or want or desire for reading glasses? What we ended up with in terms of participation, I'll need to explain this. Males and females. Now, this big gap between males and females in the younger age groups is slightly due to participation, but mostly this is something you almost always see in refugee populations that are derived from a conflict area where men just aren't around. They've been killed, they're off fighting, or whatever. So the participation actually in these age groups was very, very high. I think overall it was 80-some percent, and in the older age groups it was nearly 100%. So very representative sample of this population. The people who said they had reading glasses already, about 25%, it's a little bit lower than what we thought it might be, but we made a lot of assumptions in calculating that. The people who said, you know, I really would like to have them, I think I have some use for them, was an additional 54%. So the total demand, the people who want reading glasses or have them already, is about 80%, not quite. And that left about 20% of the people who said, yeah, I have no use for this, or you know, they didn't really have any desire, want, or need for reading glasses. And we needed to look at this a little bit more carefully. That 20% there, if you look just male and female, the females were about 10% for the coverage, and the males were about 30%. So this was a little bit distressing for us, and we look at it again as a function of age group, which you really need to do. And what you find is our 35 to 39-year-old age group, we had almost no coverage. The demand goes up from 35 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, as you might expect, because as you get into older age groups, more and more the population becomes presbyopic. There are significant differences in the demand, even though you don't see it quite so much between the males and females. It is there. It's not a huge difference, but it's statistically significant. But there's very big difference in the coverage rate. And this was, again, something that was pretty disturbing to us, because we thought we'd done pretty good in terms of making sure that females had access and coverage, one thing. Second thing is we actually monitor people coming into the clinic, and the ratio of males and females who come in is fairly equitable. So females just aren't getting the glasses for reasons that we haven't quite ferreted out yet, something you always have to watch out for. Finally, we thought the females just had a lot more need for that. They weave, they sew, they do a whole lot of stuff with their hands and things up close that the men don't do. The men don't do a lot. I mean that in a good way, I guess. But this was a little bit disturbing to us, and it just sort of reinforces that when you're doing eye care on a sort of international level, you really have to watch gender carefully. even if you think you're doing a good job, there's little boundaries in there that always kind of sneak in. It's worse in Islamic countries and in different parts of Africa and Asia and so on. Some places it's kind of okay. But you can actually be lulled into thinking you're doing okay. Women may come more often, but you start looking at the outputs and the outcomes and what they're actually getting, and you often find some sort of gaps there, and it doesn't matter what aspect of eye care. This is tending to show up, a lot of disparities with gender. Now, that 20% that said they didn't care, we can explain a lot of that, we think, okay? Results of another part of the survey that we did, we actually measured refractive error status and so on, and about 14% of this population had a diopter or more of myopia, and or a diopter more of minus cylinder astigmatism, which means that they could squeeze off reading without reading glasses. It doesn't mean that those are the people exactly who said they didn't have any need for that, but that is somewhat explainable. Our kind of take on this is we really feel that literacy is not really directly related or very related for people wanting or needing reading glasses. We don't feel that having employment or ongoing jobs or having even a cash-in economy is something that's necessary for people to have or want or need reading glasses. Again, one of the reasons of doing this study in this very hard, remote place where you don't have an economy and you don't have very high levels of literacy was to look at that aspect in particular. And then also for me to have data to go back and go to all the other medical agencies and like, okay, look, you know, there is a need for this. Anecdotally and somewhat separate from this, one of the graduate students involved with this did a lot of focus group assessments. What we found out is that the people who did get reading glasses later went on and wanted adult literacy courses. And now we're going to try to get that quantitatively to kind of, you know, put some numbers on that. That actually sort of sparked a demand. So we weren't happy about the gender thing. We were happy about the literacy thing. This is important. Again, it's really intuitive for us as eye people that, yeah, sure, everybody needs this. But it isn't intuitive for everybody. And it seems to make sense for us. But you know what? You start looking in the literature, you find goose eggs when you start trying to find some information about this. And if you go back and you look at presbyopia as an independent entity of nearsightedness or farsightedness or astigmatism, it will be the single leading cause of vision loss in the world, because just the numbers of people involved are there. And we don't have that data yet, but we're getting it. Again, we did this study. We can make it more complex. Next time we will include just a very simple VA measure, one line, maybe something equivalent to newsprint. You can see it or you can't, yes or no. We won't do a lot more complicated than that because we need to do something that's really rapid that we can do in four or five countries at once with community health workers and get data in fast. Other people can come in with big universities and do more complex studies, and that's needed, but we have so many gaps in our knowledge out there that having this sort of on-the-ground first level of data is going to be extremely useful for a lot of reasons. Refractive error data isn't in a lot better shape. We do know more about that. We can make projections now about how many hundreds of millions of people are affected. But again, if you look at the map, there's a lot more gaps where it says, here be dragons. You know, we just don't know what's out there, and we're kind of estimating what it might be. The current estimates for uncorrected, not presbyopia, you know, if you look at presbyopia as a need, you're talking close to maybe 2 billion people. Little more, little less. It depends on what you assume the age group people start becoming presbyopic. But if you look at uncorrected presbyopia, the estimates right now are pretty wild. They go anywhere from 150 million to 500 million, and some people verbally say, well, I think maybe a billion people. And this isn't based on numbers. We need to start getting in with some numbers. So we think it is important for that reason to start getting some basic level information out there, and we would like to see other people do the same. Thank you.